Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Mick Murphy of The System. Please don't disturb this groove. Stay right here with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio and the rebirth of the Quiet Storm right here at www.lotlradio.com.
On a very smooth Thursday evening. How's everyone doing? It's the Teddy Bear, and welcome to the Comfort Zone. My goodness, always bringing real artists and real music back to their ways. And there's nothing better than getting lost in some Comfort Zone music. And tonight's artist spotlight, gifted vocalist and also a professor. Yes, a professor of music. Yes, Lord, the very gifted and extremely talented Sharnay Wade, as she blesses us with her new album, offering the music of Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson. So on behalf of the Teddy Bear and the Comfort Zone, it is my privilege and honor of welcoming to the show Miss Sharnay Wade. My queen, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself?
I am doing wonderful. First and foremost, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations on a wonderful new album.
Thank you so much. It's been a great, great ride so far. I'm really excited about the response I've been getting from this record.
One of the things that I want to touch upon, by you being a professor of music, of course, at Aaron Copland School of Music, I wanted to ask you, how important is it for you as a professor and also as an artist to not only challenge your students but also challenge yourself musically?
One of my greatest feelings about being a professor is to also be out there performing musically and creating new projects for myself, because the more I do as an artist, the more information I can bring back to my students to help them along for when they get to where I am in their careers and beyond, you know. So, being active and constantly creating something is extremely important if you want to feel like you have something to give back to your students. So,
I want to go back just a little bit, about a couple of years ago, and just kind of reminisce about your 2011 album, Love Walked In. The first time I heard the album, you reminded me so much vocally of Carmen Lundy. And I mean, the entire project to me, it just completely captivated me. And that's very rare for me to say that, because I'm a stickler. I'm a stickler when it comes to music. And I just feel that as far as where you've evolved, as far as musically and also vocally, how do you look at yourself right now from a vocal standpoint on the new project, of course, the music of Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson?
Well, you know, this project, compared to the first project, well, not only is that from a couple of years ago, at least 4 years ago, so I have been doing a lot of music and a lot of different kinds of music between that first album and the second album. So, and also, you know, having an opportunity to work on projects like Rufus Reed's Quiet Pride that just came out, and working with Eric Reed, Tia Fuller, you know, all these different types of approaches to the vocal instrument has helped me to kind of stretch or get a broader concept of what my instrument is capable of doing. But specifically with the Gil Scott-Heron project, you know, I took on the challenge of trying to find a happy medium between what I do, what I usually do, normally do, and the groove-oriented approach of Gil Scott-Heron. And so in that way, I feel like I've kind of stretched my arranging a little bit more than before with this new challenge in trying to not only just meet Gil Scott halfway, but also still retain the message and create a musical palette that supports the important message that Gil Scott was trying to get out. So for me, that is what was happening with me arranging wise and vocally as well. I think I've kind of broadened even the intensity of the way I approach singing now. There's a certain level of unapologeticness that I've kind of gained in the process of working through this music that has freed me up vocally in a way that is different from before. So,
you know, one of the things that I've always found interesting is being a lover of music is that I've always looked at music as part one as far as escapism, also having the artist being able to take us on a journey, and also therapy. For you, do you consider your music, specifically this album, this new project, do you consider it somewhat kind of therapy for you as far as being able to take it to another level as far as the kind of expression, as far as what your thought process is at that particular moment in time, is being able to express yourself better as an artist?
I feel like the stories that I chose to tell, the messages that I chose to put on this record have helped me to open up artistically in a way that I've always wanted to, you know. When you sing in standards, you're singing a lot of love songs, and that's beautiful and wonderful. But, you know, there's a part of me that is really concerned about the world and really have a strong desire to make a impact in the world that's positive, that creates some kind of a positive change and a raising of consciousness. So, you know, even in the process of learning a lot about this music, I learned a lot about the times that Gil Scott was talking about. And, you know, so it's all a learning experience. It's all inspiring. It's all teaching not just for me, but I also hope for every listener who encounters this record. It's like a re-education, so to speak, you know, putting out, you know, kind of what's needed to be heard again, still, you know, not letting those messages die. So did I answer that for you?
Yes, you did. You know what? One of the great things about, oh, you did. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was saying that one of the great things about Gil Scott-Heron is that he gave it to you uncut. It was just raw. You know, he took no prisoners. Do you feel like that as far as the society, that as far as the social climate that we live in today's society, do you think that's what's needed as far as just giving people a very serious wake up call as far as being able to pay attention to what's going on around us in the world today, because we spend so much time caught up in social media, quote unquote reality TV, so to speak. And we've somehow, some way, we've lost our way, and we've lost touch to as far as what's going on in today's society. How important was that for you to, I guess, sort of just give people a cup of coffee and to wake them up and let them know what's really going on?
Exactly. That's exactly what the purpose of this album is to do, raise a level of consciousness. I think a lot of times, you know, people are trying to escape from the reality because things are getting rougher out here for most people. And if there is a way to give something back to the community that helps them to focus in on what really matters, then, you know, I totally want to be a part of that. And I think I hope that this record will be a part of that. I think that it is, actually, from the responses that I've been getting, you know, from some hardcore Gil Scott-Heron fans, and then some fans who may not have been aware of Gil Scott-Heron at all. You know, it's just really important. You know, we did this record, Mark Ruffin, who works on the Sirius XM radio, and he also does some journal writing as well. You know, when Mark Ruffin came to me with this project, shortly thereafter, we had the Michael Brown. And, you know, as a African-American woman growing up in New York City, you know, a lot of these things that suddenly hit the media, you know, most of us who live in a city like New York, for example, were very aware of these kinds of things going on. So, you know, I think this kind of all came together around the right time, you know. And I'm hoping that it will serve to help keep the momentum moving towards some real positive change and creating compassion for one another's stories, really learning how to respect and listen to the suffering of others, and then figuring out together how we as a human community can come together and fix it, you know, make it better, you know. So, yeah, I'm hoping that this record is a wake-up call, and that it also empowers people to think differently, to be re-inspired, to feel like they have some kind of power or say in the matter. So, yeah, that's definitely what was a part of this record.
Well, definitely resonates through the entire project. And one particular song that I really fell in love with and really hit home for me was Home Is Where the Hatred Is. Mm-hmm. I've listened to the song, and I said, I guess for me, growing up in South Central Los Angeles, and a lot of things that are taking place right now, I grew up in an era where it was commonplace. It was really, literally commonplace as far as police brutality and things of that nature. I grew up around that, and I know somewhere along the way, we have not only lost mutual respect for one another as a people, as far as trying to help one another, as they said, the old adage, it takes a village to raise a child. And I'm in total agreement of that. For you, seeing the things growing up in New York City, how frustrating is it for you to be a woman of color, to see the things that are transpiring right now, not just with as far as law enforcement, as far as the things that we are doing to one another, as far as our own people, the way we are treating one another?
I mean, I have this conversation a lot, you know. You know, we need to get back to a place where we have some level of collective responsibility. You know, I am my brother and my sister's keeper, at least on the level of humanity, meaning rather on a humanitarian level. What do I mean by that? Well, if you see someone suffering and you can help them, then help them. Okay, maybe you're not in a position to really help in a way that you might feel would have a real impact. Well, just something as simple as being mindful, and I say this especially for artists and people in the performing arts world, what we create has impact. So being mindful of the impact that you make on the world through whatever your chosen field is, you know, are you willing, you know, if you work in the financial world, do you reach back? Do you share your information with the next person or the next young person that's coming up? Or have you created a program to teach the next generation how to be more financially stable? So, you know, things like this, we all have something that we're good at. We all have something that we can give to the next person to help them along their way. You know, one of my mentors used to say to me all the time, if you have learned something, you can teach it. You know, Cecil Bridgewater is his name, trumpet player, played with Max Roach for a very long time. He would say that to me all the time. You don't have to know everything, but what you do know, you can share, you know. And that's all, you know, that's how I see myself as a professor. You know, I don't know everything, but what I do know, I'm going to share with the students who are in my classroom. And I'm going to try my best to pass on whatever knowledge I have, you know, collective responsibility. And I think if we got back to that, that would alleviate on some levels, maybe, you know, I don't know, 40%, 50% of some of the stuff that's going on out here right now.
Right.
You know, so, but I think it's an ongoing conversation, and we just have to keep on figuring out what is going to work, what is going to help us, what is going to help to make the change, and what small changes can we make in our own lives, in our relationships to ourselves, and then with our relationships to others. Do we walk through the world feeling disconnected, you know, and that it's all about me, me, me? I'm gonna get mine, you gonna get yours, right? That's
right.
You know, is that what the consciousness is? Or, you know, I got mine, let me teach you how to get yours. You know, if I can help, if I can support you, you know. So how do we help on the broader spectrum, help the process of shifting the consciousness in that direction? I think that's where artists come in. And I think that, you know, it is the responsibility. There is some responsibility on the artist to be mindful of the impact that of what they say and what they put out into the world, because it reaches out to millions of people if you're lucky, billions if you're even more lucky. But even if it's just a couple of thousand, that has impact. Those are the ripples in the water of the world. Does that, if that makes sense, you know? So yeah, I think that's a start. That's a start. Being mindful.
Absolutely. You know, something you just said, something that was very taboo. Taking responsibility.
Is that taboo, really?
What mm-hmm. I've seen transpire in today's society, I find it rather apropos when Gil Scott Heron said years ago, we're all starring in a beat movie, but that's okay. That's okay. We're going to make that transition and get into some real music. Of course, we're being joined this evening by the very talented Sharnay Wade, as we get into her new album, The Music of Gil Scott-Heron, with one of my favorite songs from the new album, Home is Where the Hatred Is, here in the comfort zone of LOTL Radio.
Never went home again.
The Offering, of course, the new album, The Music of Gil Scott-Heron, from the very talented Sharnay Wade here in the Comfort Zone of LOTO Radio. You know, one of the things that I've always found fascinating about jazz music in general, there's so many different layers of jazz as far as jazz fusion, hip hop, bebop. It's all infused. And Sharnay, one of the things that I really find so incredible about you as an artist and your music, you have been able to incorporate so many different layers of music as far as jazz music, whether it's contemporary, modern day, acid jazz. I mean, so many, you've been able to do that. For you, how important is it for you as an artist to continually push the boundaries and take it up to another level?
Well, you know, I like exploring all facets of the voice and finding out what kinds of things, new things, different things, what other kinds of things my instrument can do. But you know, on some other levels, it's like it's about learning more and more about African American music. Or really all musics for that concern. I am a musician up front. I'm interested in music. And so if I hear anything that inspires me, it's gonna become a part of who I am, you know? So if I'm listening to somebody like Buika, for example, you know, love her as an artist, just powerful singer, you know, I'm gonna get inspired, influenced by that. So, you know, it's kind of subconscious on some levels, and it's and on other levels, it becomes a conscious choice in respects to constantly expanding myself as an artist, as a musician, and also keeping things fresh and new, you know, staying interested, you know, what else can I do? What else can I create?
For those who have not had the privilege as far as being able to get on stage and perform in front of someone, for you, can you give us a lot more insight for you? What is it like for you when you first take the stage and you have that kind of interaction with the audience as far as, because, you know, some artists, to me, it's a gift when you're able to invite the listener in and take them on that journey with you. What is it like for you when you build that kind of rapport with the listeners?
Well, it's like magic, actually. And it's always a, how do I say this? It's always a process. It's different from audience to audience. You kind of have to feel out where they are that day, you know? And it's like a dance, so to speak. One of the things I had to learn to start doing was being okay with whatever it was that I had to offer for that day, you know, and being vulnerable on stage, like that level of vulnerability where you say, "Here I am. This is what I'd like to offer you today," you know. Please receive that. I hope you're receiving this. And then being able to let it go after that. But you know, that level of conversation really at the end of the day is about telling a story, connecting it with yourself, and then sharing it with others, connecting it with others. So there's a certain level of vulnerability that you have to kind of practice having. In order to really be able to connect on that level. So I strive for that every time I walk on stage, and it's different every time. And I'm always thinking about how can I get back to that space of connecting, you know, every time I walk on stage. So it's a challenge, but it's what we're here for, you know. That's what us vocalists do, you know.
Absolutely.
We're storytellers, you know.
Right. Now, I want to touch upon something you just said that I find very intriguing when you say, as far as you mentioned, vulnerability. When you're able to, it's very few artists out there that have the capacity to do something like that. When you show so much vulnerability and the listeners can actually relate and believe in you on that journey with you on that particular song, and you throw yourself in that song, when you immerse yourself in that song, how are you able to bring yourself out of that mind in your emotions after a performance?
You know, to be honest with you, sometimes I don't come out of it, to be honest. Sometimes I ride that energy, that wave. You know, other times I might need to just go have a moment on my own. After the show, before I come out and speak to people. It really depends on how intense the tune is. And even if you're speaking during a set, going from song to song, you know, it is a practice of taking a breath, you know. The breath is a strong pathway to release, you know. So when you breathe through things, it's easier to let them pass through you, you know, because essentially I am like a vessel, you know, I'm here to communicate a truth and connect to the audience, someone in the audience, so that they hear that truth. And if it connects to them in some way, then it's almost like a bearing witness. And it either is a bearing of witness or an enlightening moment, or at least that's what I'm aiming for every time. So once that has happened, if that has happened at the end of the song, I can feel, all right, I can release.
Right.
Because that's my purpose. That was the purpose of sharing that song. So I fulfilled that purpose. Now, here's the next song. I'm going to fulfill the purpose of that song. Okay. So I think, like, when I was doing this Broadway show and I had to end the show every night with Strange Fruit, it was actually off Broadway show. That was hard, you know, that was hard. Cause Strange Fruit is not one of those tunes that lets go of you
right.
Very easily. So that I did find myself, you know, after the having to do the show a couple of days in a row, and it being the last song of the show, it was kind of challenging to press that reset button. So you just take the time that you need to come down, you know, and exhale out of that space enough to be able to interact with human beings after that, you know. So, you know, I think I'm still developing a process with that. And, you know, as I go throughout my career, that might change as I change. But for right now, you know, that seems to be working for me.
I admit personally, and I'm not ashamed to admit this, being a man, I have seen my as I've gotten progressively older, there are certain songs, certain artists that I find that really touch me emotionally. I can listen to Nancy Wilson 24 hours a day, and
mm-hmm.
it is something so unique about her voice that I find so calming.
Mm-hmm.
So soothing, that really touches me emotionally. And I find that with you, that you have that, as they say, certain je ne sais quoi, that you have the capacity and the capability of doing that. What is it like for you when you have people come to you? As you said, the overwhelming response, it's been nothing but great reviews for the new album, of course. What is it like for you when you have people reach out from across the country and say, you know what? We love this album. We love you. It's one particular song that really I could really relate to. What has that done for you as an artist, and not just as an artist, but also as a human being?
It's very surreal, to be honest with you. I feel very grateful. I feel like, okay, I'm setting out and I'm actually accomplishing that thing that I wanted to accomplish, which is whenever I get on stage, as I was telling you before, goal is always to move somebody, connect with somebody, at least one person. If I can do that, then I've done my job. So to get a chance to experience people from all over the country, and I've been hearing about responses in Europe as well, in the UK and France, to hear that they are moved and are touched by this record. I mean, it's what I sought out to do. I feel like, yay, okay, I'm doing something. I'm doing the thing that I've always wanted to do, you know. And it's really important to me. It's really important to me that whatever I put out into the world, that it has some kind of positive impact. And, you know, it seems to be happening. So it's a little surreal for me on some levels. And that's because there's probably a certain level of like, okay, you know, get ready, you know.
Right.
Get prepared for the next step, right? And not one to get too overwhelmed by it. But, you know, when I have a moment, it does feel like, wow, yes, this is how I want my career to move, you know. Put out something, it has an impact. It brings something positive to the listener's life. It's extremely important to me. So it's a great thing. I feel really grateful and excited. Very excited. Very excited about, you know, having an opportunity to, you know, become visible, to have a platform, and then to be able to do something with it that is good, you know, that matters, that that helps to alleviate the suffering in the world, you know. So bring some joy, some peace, some compassion, some love.
Mm. Well, it's always a positive thing when you, especially when you have that mindset, as I've always said, as my dad used to tell me, said, you know what, you can never trade in character and integrity. And I find a lot of time in today's music that's sorely missing, what we trade. We trade that looking for, quote unquote, the admiration, adulation, instead of being true to the art form. And that's why I have so much respect for you as an artist, because you don't allow boundaries to keep you in. You're always searching and trying to take it to the next level. And when I hear a song like, when I've listened to this song, I've listened to it about five times. Huh. Ain't no such thing as Superman. Can you tell the listeners about that particular single from the new album, of course, The Music of Gil Scott Heron?
Well, you know, this track is Jana Harrison, who's the head of Miltema it's her favorite track of all of them. And, you know, I think the message, or the message that I get from this tune, is talking about what I was mentioning a little earlier, which is we need to come together as community, you know. We need to lean on each other, lean on each other's strengths to create a stronger community as a whole. And I think sometimes, and I definitely felt this way for a very long time, sometimes it feels like you're the only one who cares, you know. And a lot of times it's not true. Sometimes it's just a matter of going out and finding like-minded individuals, or closely like-minded individuals, to create community, you know, and to create a more powerful impact. So, you know, for me, ain't no such thing as a Superman, this idea that you have to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders all by yourself. You know, it's not the most effective way of going about things. So you think about the civil rights movement, there were so many people involved. You know, the change that was created wasn't done with one person all alone. You might have one person out front, who was the spokesperson, but there were millions of people on the ground doing work, using their skills to help support, you know, change. So once we remember that, then we can understand that when we come back together as a group, we can be more powerful. So, you know, sometimes we got to be reminded that there ain't no such thing as a Superman, you know? So
I'm in total agreement. definitely.
Don't believe the hype. This whole individualistic me culture, it's only going to take you but so far, you know?
Absolutely.
And, I mean, I could go on about that, you know, but that'll be on the next record.
All right. Well, listeners, you heard it here first from, of course, the lady, the very talented Sharnay Wade, from the new album, the music of Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson, of course, one of her many great, wonderfully written songs on this Kaleidoscope 11-track Kaleidoscope new album, of course, available on iTunes and also at Amazon.com. And let's get into it with Ain't No Such Thing as Superman here in the comfort zone of LOTL Radio.
You have understood the riddles of the ages. Yes, and you have understood the universal nine. You have placed your footprints on the everlasting sands of time. Yes, so tell me why can't you understand? There ain't no such thing, no such thing as a Superman. You was on the Nile. You went to see great Egypt fall. Be together.
together. So tell me why can't you understand? There ain't no such thing, no such thing.
Talented Shawnee Wade with a new album, of course, offering the music of Gil Scott-Heron and, of course, and Brian Jackson. The CD, I'll say CD for the younger listeners, but since I'm seasoned and like refined wine, I'll say the new album and CD available on iTunes, Amazon, and also at CD Baby. And to get all the latest updates, be sure to let your fingers do the walking. Stop by Charnay's official website. That's at CharnayWade.com. You can also catch up with her on Twitter and also on Facebook. That's at Twitter.com/CharnayWade. And also on Facebook, it's at Facebook.com/CharnayWadeMusic. My queen, it has definitely been an honor to have you on the show. I love your music. I love what you're doing. And hopefully, very soon, I'm knocking on wood that you will make it down here to Texas. We would love to have you down here in the studio and also have an opportunity to see you perform live. Do you think that might happen before the year is over?
That would be awesome. I think that would be great. Let's try to figure out how to make that happen for sure.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If you could get in a time machine and go back, let's say seven years, what would the Charnay Wade of today tell the Charnay Wade back then? What would you say to her?
I say, worry a little less, a lot less. and just go ahead and trust yourself and get on that good foot. You'll be all right. Yeah. You're going to be all right.
So it is written, so it shall be done. Thank you. Thank you so much, my queen. Again, it was definitely
thank
an honor
you.
To have you on the broadcast.
Thank
all right.
you. What a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is truly ours. The very talented Charnay Wade here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio. Remember, listeners, be sure to purchase the new album offering the music of Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson from the talented Charnay Wade, available on iTunes, Google Play. We got a lot of CD Baby, but for those who are feeling even more adventurous, you can always head over to Amazon.com. And while I got you here, we're on this spiritual journey and getting lost in some substance blueprint music. Lost even deeper from the new album, the music of Gil Scott-Heron, Brian Jackson, Charnay Ray, with The Vulture, Your Soul and Mine, here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio.
Another black man's life. Flying through the valley, they're separating day and night. I am death, cried the vulture. Yes, for the people of
the very talented Shante Can in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio. I want to send out again a very special thank you to the very talented Sharnay Way. Thank you, my queen, for honoring us this evening. And family, be sure to purchase the new album, fantastic new album, offering the music of Gil Scott-Heron and Brian Jackson. Yes, Lord, available on iTunes, Google Play, CD Baby. But for those who like to live more adventurous, you can always head on over to Amazon.com and to get all the latest updates, be sure to stop by Sharnay's official website. That's at SharnayWade.com. You can also get your winner on Facebook and Twitter. Twitter, same handle. Twitter is twitter.com/SharnayWade, but a little bit different twist on Facebook. As at facebook.com/SharnayWade. Music, Lord have mercy. And speaking of Lord have mercy, won't you join the Teddy Bear tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, as we are joined from, my goodness, as we are honored to the legendary, my goodness. You know what? See, this is what happened. I'm sitting up here during intermission. I'm joking with my program director. And I said, you know what? I need some apple cider. And she said, see, Teddy Bear, that's what happens when you're not on the air on a regular basis. I said, okay, I understand. So I'm working on my first glass of hot apple cider. So I'm allowing it to transform me into something unique. But again, once you join us tomorrow night as we welcome the legendary Freddie Stone from Sly and his family Stone as we debut the new album. Yes, the new album from Sly and the Family Stone. Sly and the Family Stone live at the Fillmore East 1968. My goodness, it's definitely a beautiful day. And speaking of beautiful things, we have so much beautiful, exquisite music. Lord have mercy. Like I've always used the analogy, like Linus's blanket, Teddy Bear's here to keep you comfy and cozy. And speaking of comfy and cozy, let's get lost in an equally phenomenal and extraordinarily beautiful Shante Moore. I know, right here in the comfort zone of LOTO Radio.